Let's stand together.
Just as you are before your
Amen. Good evening to you. I've asked Pastor Gordon to lead us in prayer, just asking God's blessing on this time together.
Father God, we come to you this evening in Jesus' name. And Lord, this is a true time of blessing when we see young people going on, Lord, to further their education, to further you. We pray, Father, that your blessing would rest upon them. Pray, Father, that we'd be an encouragement to their hearts, and I pray that tonight would be a time of meeting with you and, Lord God, coming close to you. Thank you for those that are gathered here. We commit it to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We do. Amen. Thank you, brother. Let's go ahead and be seated. We have two scholarship recipients here tonight. Dear Rosa back here. Rosa, you are from what country?
Ethiopia.
That's what I've been telling people, but I wanted to make sure. Has been here most of her life. She's got a wonderful story about God just intervening in her life. She is one of the recipients tonight. And Alyssa Lewin, who's... There she is. Oh, right next to Rosa. was the other applicant and recipient of that scholarship. Money that the community has donated at this point has amounted to $1,300 apiece. And we've been telling the girls that there's one more offering will be taken, and we're going to do that right now. And we'll try to equally divide it between the two. But both of them have a direction in life. Look into the Lord for that direction for sure. And hopefully this will be some boost from their Christian family here in this community. So I would like Michael, if you don't mind, Cliff, would you come and help me out here, please? And I was sick of Dennis. How about, can I pull you in? There you are. Jim Lewin, you're right in front of me. Here, come on up. Well, I want to pray one more time here. Amen. Father, thank you for these students that are here. Lord, we've got a wonderful collection of them tonight. Some of them have graduated. Some of them are pursuing still. But Father, they're in your hands. And for these two, Father, we want to send them on their way with your blessing, Lord God. So we would ask, Lord, on this final opportunity to donate to their schooling, that Father, you would even multiply it in a fun way. We just commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go ahead and continue singing while the offering is being received.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father, for the promises, the many wonderful promises we've just sung about. Father, as we focus on these young people making changes in their lives, Lord, it's time. And we just pray that the truth of these songs, the promises of these songs, and many, many more that they have learned growing up would be applicable in their life, Lord. We know that you will go with them. We know that your Spirit, oh God, is with them now. Guide them on from here. I thank you that we can celebrate and just congratulate them in this way too, Lord. Thank you so much. Particularly that we have a wonderful, wonderful, great shepherd. And that is you, our Lord. Amen. So sitting here in my seat, I got to thinking back. I can actually remember when I graduated. I don't know if you guys can or not. I graduated at 17 and I was lost, lost, lost. I was in complete party frame of mind and nothing mattered except the next party. Actually, doing some chasing of Eastern religions, I was lost. And I'm thinking, you know, of these that are here. We mentioned Rosa and Alyssa. Tom is right now finishing up the last of his senior year as well. Grace will be graduating, completed her GED. Her graduation is next Saturday, her walk. And there's another one. Who's the other? What's that? Alex, there you are. Where'd Alex go? There he is. Yeah, hiding, that's why. Alex just graduated this last week from Burney, California. So we congratulate you as well. He spends a lot of summer time with Grandma and Grandpa here, and now he's up living here. And so for you graduates, we just say congratulations on that. As a parent, you know, we raise our kids to leave home, but it's with us anyway. I don't know about the rest of you. Maybe you're saying, out of here. I'm done with this. It comes too quick, you know, and you wish you could just hang out with them for a year wherever they're going just to make sure they're, you know, protected and things are going well, but that's not the way it works, obviously. I've told these young people in our youth group many, many times, I just don't want you to have to carry the same scars that I'm carrying from your period of time and just a little after. Truly. But as you go from here, you know, in me thinking about what kind of a challenge, what can I send you out with that can stick here, I believe that there are three, I think, good, solid foundation stones that I can place under you, that if you build your life on these, God is going to bless you. God is going to be pleased with you. And they're basic. You've heard it before. It's not something new. There's no new revelation I got from God. Same old, wonderful, gospel truth, Lord. Foundations, truly. And I'm wanting to dump this on. Now, each one of these has a lot of sub-columns and categories. Lots of ways to apply them. But I want to say this as well. I'm talking to you graduates right now, I'm talking to you guys that are on your way to graduating, as well as those that have already gone on. Okay, there are too many that we know that have been in our circles that have found this nice sandy beach somewhere to build their house on instead of a solid rock. And those houses will come crashing down, to use Jesus' analogy. And so I'm saying take these solid truths and go with them. And I'll tell you the reasons why I want to drop these on you in a few minutes. First of all, Psalm 119, verse 89. A lot of you can actually quote this. Psalm 119, 8. Does anybody have it off the top of their head? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is fixed. Peter picked up on that. And in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 24, he said, all flesh is like grass, all the glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures or abides forever. Isaiah chapter 40. And by the way, I've just picked three of many, many, many scriptures that I could put in front of you. Isaiah chapter 40, 6 through 8. A voice calls out, "Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken, it's fixed, it's solid. A voice calls out, or a voice says, 'Call out.' And then he answered, 'What shall I call out? All flesh is grass. All its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever.'" Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I had some thoughts I wrote down years ago about the word of God. I'm going to just run through this real quick. Today, the Bible has been reduced from the word of God to an inanimate or lifeless collection of religious philosophical thought, subject to the whimsical prejudices of man. However, the word of God will still stand. "Let God be found true," Romans 3 verse 4 says, "though every man be found a liar." Listen to this. The word of God is living and active, not just a book of knowledge, though it imparts knowledge, not just a book of wisdom, though it provides the wisdom of God, not just a book of prophecy, though it's loaded with prophecy, not just a book of science, though it contains indisputable and recently discovered scientific facts. Boy, some of those are fun to walk through. Some of the things that God said 3,000 years ago that were only discovered in the last 300 years. No other book can claim that one. It's not just a book of instruction, though it contains much instruction. Not just a collection of theological thoughts, though it is the source of information about God. Not just a book of history, though it is packed with accurate history. Not just a book of laws, though it has the law of God. Not just a book of judgment, though it reveals the judgment that will be upon all people, specifically that reject Him. And not just a record of Genesis or beginnings, though it has the complete, if brief, creation account. It is not even just a love story, though it tells the greatest love story ever imagined. It is God's breathed word to communicate, to convict, to activate man towards life out of death, or to judge man eternally in death. Solid foundation number one, guys, the word of God. Solid foundation number two, Isaiah 44, verses 6 through 8. "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last." This is in Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was born. Who is this also about in the book of Revelation? The Lord Jesus. Hang on to that one. "I am the first," Yahweh says, "and I am the last. There is no God beside me." Amen. Foundation block number two. There is a God, and He has revealed Himself in this same word. "And who is like me," God says? Let Him proclaim and declare it. "Yes, let Him recount it to me in order. From the time that I established the ancient nation, let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are coming, going to take place. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid." God says, "Have I not long ago announced it to you and declared it? And you are my witnesses," and here it comes, Is there any God besides me? Just let God have a pause right there and you hear dead silence. Is there any God besides me? Is there any other rock? And God says, I know of none. Foundation stone number two. God's word reveals that God is the only God and the creator of all that is. Keep that in your mind. He is the creator. Over and over in the word of God, he has declared to us, he is the creator. That will help align a whole lot of things as you go from here. That will help filter out a whole lot of trash. Foundation stone number three. John 14:6, let's quote it together. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And who said it? Foundation stone number three. Jesus is the only Savior. All else that you're going to be hearing out there, it's going to be vying for position in those three areas. Keep those in your mind, in your heart. And I'm making a statement here that's not prophetic. I don't claim to be a prophet, but it might happen that way. The system where you graduates are going, even if it isn't on to further school, the system where you are going, sometimes even so-called Christian churches and schools and organizations will try to knock out block number one, foundation stone number one. They will try for all they are worth to knock out the fact of God's word being true. They will try to do it. And if they knock out block number one, number two and three fall easily. It won't change the truth of anything. His word is forever settled in heaven, and those three truths are absolutely right there to build your life on. I'd like to read a little advice out of Ecclesiastes. This is a fun... This guy had a lot of wisdom. He didn't always act that way, but Solomon had a lot of wisdom. He says in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 4, if the rulers... anger or temper rises against you, do not abandon your position, because composure allays great offenses. I'm going to apply that here. Those that are leaders out there, those that are going to come at you and say, foundation stone number one is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. You are some kind of ignoramus to believe that. That's the word of God. And then number two, that there is a God, the creator of all things. And then number three, the only Savior? Nah, there's lots of ways to enlightenment. Really? Maintain your composure. Maintain your composure. You don't have to be belligerent about it. You don't have to be a jerk about it. Maintain your composure in what you know is true. Let truth stand against adversity. All that presents itself trying to displace God from your heart and mind, stand solid, composed. This I know is true. Now I'd like to conclude this little bit that I'm doing here, reading a journal entry of Paul of Tarsus. Standing solidly against adverse thinking. I'd like to read out of Acts chapter 17 with this little thought in mind. The Apostle Paul had no one there to support him. No church family. You guys are leaving that. No Christian family. You're leaving that one way or another. He had some traveling companions, but it was these truths that held him through this adversity. Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 16. Now, while Paul was waiting for them, traveling companions, at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was beholding this city full of idols. So he was reasoning in the synagogues with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. Another warm body comes, that's an opportunity that he would take. And also some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, always scratching their chin, looking for the next thing to jabber about. They were conversing with him, and some were saying, "What would this idle babbler wish to say?" And others, "He seems to be a proclaimer of strange deities." And you'll be accused of that, guys. Strange. That's old. That's ancient. They took him and brought him into the Areopagus, saying, "May we know more, know what this new teaching is which you are proclaiming? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears, and we want to know, therefore, what these things mean." In our Christian America, I believe that this old story that we sometimes sing about has gone very, very distant to the main flow of culture. And it will be an odd-sounding statement. I want to say truth, because I know it is, and I hope you know it is too. It'll sound really weird to them. "You what? You accepted Jesus as your Savior. What does that mean? Who is that? Which Jesus?" And they'll have all kinds of statements for you. Verse 21. "Now all the Athenians and strangers visiting there used to spend their time in nothing more than telling or hearing something new. And Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, 'Men of Athens,'" and I appreciate Paul's attitude here. I know some of you are well aware of this. He didn't jump up on the pool table and start yelling at everybody. He met them at a common ground place with the love that only God could provide. I am certain of that. "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects." That perked up their ear. They liked to hear that because that's what they were. "For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you." Let me just pause right here. He's going to get into that. But you know what? In some of the science classes you guys take, they're going to say, "This happens and this happens and this is the cause," back to here. And you can say, "Why?" And they will say, "We're not sure." Ah. Nice place to step in and say, "You know what? I got an idea here. Do you know, long before man was able to mathematically measure that the stars were spreading, that God in His Word over and over said, 'He is the one that spread out the heavens.'" How did that happen? I think I might know. Can't explain it to you, but God told me this. Anyway, let me tell you about this unknown God. That's where Paul is. The God who made the world, there we are, creation, the only God, foundation stone number 2 that I gave you, coming from number 1, he got it from the Word of God. God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, the only God, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. Now watch what else Paul believed. This is going to throw some loops in there. "And he," God, "made from one blood," or one source, "every nation of mankind." Whoa, that takes me right back to where? Genesis. Where God made one man. Out of that man came the woman, and from those came the nations. Paul believed it. "He made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. And he determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist or have our being. We are, the Greek word eimi, we are because of him, and that is all of humanity. Even as some of your own poets. Paul reaches into another commonplace with these people. As some of your poets have said, here's their quote, "For we also are his offspring. Being then the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or any image formed by the art and thought of man." Let's include some of those strange gods with all those arms and snakes out of their hair and on and on, and half fish, half man. Oh, man has come up with some wild ideas of what God looks like. Paul said, it's not going to fit. It's not going to fit. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent. That's a hated word out there in this world. Unless it means you repent to be like me. You shape yourself to fit me, because I got it down. And the world out there hates the word sin. Let's blame somebody else. That's much easier. Sin. All men everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man, foundation stone number 3, through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. He died to pay for sin. Foundation stone number 3, maintain your composure. Hang on to that one. The Word of God states it, and you don't have to apologize. There is one God. You don't have to be embarrassed. There is one Savior. They don't like it. That is not your problem. If that is what a friendship is based on, I would say the friendship is not worth it. That is true. Stand in it. Live it. Love him. And love that person anyway. You might see them turn a corner and come back to the Savior. Or come to the Savior. Let me finish that out. Having furnished proof to all men by raising him, Jesus, of course, from the dead. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to snare. But others said, "We shall hear you again concerning this." And Paul left. Just an illustration of someone, happened to be Paul. But you know what? You're going out there. Not just you graduates. We are in this world that is opposed to this message. It is opposed to this God of this Scripture. Your words about a resurrected Lord, that's foreign language to them. That's fairy tales. That's fantasies. Before you settle on some silly conclusion like that, do your homework. You're going to find that all evidence points to the grave was empty. And it was Jesus of Nazareth who died, and he was raised again. What do we do with this? Let me ask you for some interaction here. What's your thinking at this point in time? What's some applications, some things you might like to advise the young people on, or the young people, what do you think about this?
Well, Paul, he talked about the unknown God, rather than say, here's why it's not the God of human, here's why it's not just the God of this, here's why it's not just the God of human vitality, or whatever, all the different gods were that they worship. He just brought it right to the truth about the true God. And sometimes we feel like we have to explain all these different theories and why they're not right. Well, that's not right. That's not right. You know. But people sometimes, they don't get to hear all about why their theory is so wrong. They need to hear the truth.
It's true.
And then they can find it. Sometimes they can find it themselves once you show them. So it's just a thought.
You know, Sammy, that's how God reached me. There was no Christian person trying to put everything down that I believed. They could have, but that's exactly what happened. It was presented, and you know, the Holy Spirit has something to do with that. When the Holy Spirit's in the equation, man, I just started being uncomfortable, chewing away, thinking, finally I said, God, if you're there and this is real, show me. And ultimately, no signs or wonders or anything, but God showed me this is true. No question about it. So, amen. Thank you for that advice. Somebody else.
I think that any type of position or place that you attempt to live your life, whether in working or whether worshiping and leading others, this God will always lead you through whatever it is. I work as a machinist. Mm-hmm. I run a business on cutting metal. But yet, I always go back to the foundation of what I learned, and it's a foundation that God has given. All of these things work together and follow right down with Him. If you've got Him in the center, the rest of your job is to be snapping.
He'll see to it. He is the Father. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Tom?
I think, you know, I went through a lot as a youngster, and it's real important that you stand with Christ in every single thing you do, every single day when you wake up. Stand with Him, because you're going to come against some stuff that is out in this world today. It's going to be the most horrific, ugliest, and when you go to college, anything you'll come up against. This world is sin. So stand with Christ. Do it daily. You know, we all fall short every day. But you know what? You have got a great start. You guys are founded in the Lord. You have a great way to take off. When I left, I couldn't get out of school fast enough. I was a survivor just like Dan. I mean, we grew up as kids working, 11 years old, working papers, washing trucks, whatever. That was my survival. And then as I got older, I thought I could take on everything, and then all the darkness fell upon as that came, because the pride took over, and the pride and the darkness and everything else all came as time went on. So Christ is there. He will always be there. He's going to let you do things if you want to persist on going that route. But if you don't and you fall in His arms, you will be just fine.
Amen.
Okay. I think the Lord was talking to me, so I'm going to tell you. I'm a little scared, really, for the young people, because it is difficult. And like Tom was saying, what else can make it? Well, you are foundational. You are. But I have a warning here. That is, to be careful of the media in the world. The media, the music that you might listen to, and the movies that you might see. The media is probably going to be the top one that can come after you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I tell you right now, I'm scared for that, because mm-hmm. it's dangerous. And I hate for these great people to be absorbed and taken down by it.
Taken down.
Mm-hmm. So just a word of caution, because everybody here loves you. Everybody here will pray for you. Mm-hmm. And everybody here will provide for you. And will help you if you need help. I, for one, I certainly am. You guys know me, and you know I will. Well, my warning is the media. Please, consider the Lord. And careful.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you. Appreciate that as well. Pastor Les, could I have you come up, please? I'd like you to be up here. I've asked Pastor Les to pray specifically for these graduates. The prayer obviously extends to the young people beyond them as well. But we really do care about you, want to commit you guys into the Lord's hands, absolutely. So, brother?
First of all, I'd like to say something or pray. This message you gave us is absolutely a classic. You can listen to that and do it. Keep your mind on Jesus and keep your heart right, and you'll do fine. Jesus is with us.
Amen.
He didn't come here for any other reason but to keep you, to bring you to Him, and to keep you from falling. All He mentions is, so, I look at all these kids. I remember your son over here, a little guy, a long time ago, nice big guy. And others as well. But time flies. You have fun.
Yeah.
Drags on when you're not. God's for us, who can be against us? Scripture tells us this. So, Father, we just come to you now. Lord, with the message that was given from your word and from our heart. A pastor that loves you and cares about all of these that are here, that are graduating and have already. And Lord, we know that this world is evil because, Lord, we can see it. We have lived so many years ourselves. And Lord, as I recall my own life when I started out on my own, and Lord, it was a struggle. But Lord, I had people that were behind me and that prayed for me. And we pray, Lord, that all of these here that heard this message, Lord, we pray for these graduates. Lord, and keep them in mind. Lord, it's a rough time out there. But Lord, as the scripture says, if God be for us, who can be against us? So we pray, Lord, as these begin, that Lord, at their time of further education or whatever vocation they go into, we know, Lord, the time is treacherous, but Lord, we know that we can run into your arms. The times are down and Lord, the times are tough. But Lord, if we keep our mind upon you and upon your scriptures, we will not fall. Lord, that we will be a witness and a light in a darkened world. And many will inquire of the hope that is within each of us. And we pray, Lord, that we will have the strength and the fortitude to tell them the way that they can find that light and that peace that has happened to me over the years. And Lord, you're not a respectful person. And so you will do it for these as well. We pray, Lord, that your blessings be upon them. And Lord, that their way, Lord, will be lighted by your presence. And the word of God has been instilled in their life as they walk this highway of life. We do pray your blessings upon them and your keeping power. We ask all of this in your precious, wonderful name. Amen.
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 So, very generous part of the family here tonight, girls. Praise God. We'd like to add just a bit more to the scholarship that you're receiving. But Alyssa and Rosa, I would like you to share with this part of your family what direction God is sending you in, okay? But just before you come up, let me tell you that tonight's offering is giving you each $215 more. So it's right at $1,515 a piece. So praise God. Absolutely. Praise God. Would you both come up here? This is Lily Impromptu. It's okay. You don't have to be too nervous. Come on. Like to... What's that? You knew it. And you came anyway. You're amazing. So,
Dan, can you give them a microphone, please?
We can do that. Let me, sure, let's, yeah, go ahead and stand over there. That'd be great. I'll adjust it to your height. Oh, you won't drop that low. Alyssa, where are you going from here?
I plan on attending George Fox University in the fall, but that's not set in stone. I'm not saying it for sure until I'm in Cargo.
But a lot has opened up, door-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and what will you? What is your desire? Why do you want to go to Fox?
I've always been really interested in their school because they have a really wide variety of everything. It's not so tiny that it's like the high school I graduated from, but it's also not so big that you get lost in the whirlpool of people. And they do seem to really care about their students, and the professors have been super awesome from what I've experienced.
And then what area of the medical world are you wanting to get into?
I first looked at nursing, which I'm still interested in, but I'm leaning towards exercise science, majoring to become maybe a physical therapist or something of that sort.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Lord bless you. And Rosa, where are you going? I know you had a couple of different universities open their door to you.
Yeah, I was going to go to George Fox, and then also Corbin asked me to be part of their track and field team. And so I chose Corbin because they're paying for a lot of
Wow! Smart girl!
So I'll be attending Corbin University.
Amen. And what will you be doing there? What are you aiming at?
I'm going to get my medical and
orthopedics. And your intent is to take your schooling and your profession where?
Well, I...
Are you going back to Ethiopia?
Yeah, I'm going to, after I finish all my education, I'm planning on going back to Africa and staying there maybe a couple of years to help people out there.
Rosa's own testimony includes kind of the daycare center was at the hospital where your mom worked, is that correct? Just going from room to room, from person to person, just seeing a lot of misery, isn't that right? A lot of ugly things.
Yeah.
And her heart is to go back there with this and minister in her own home country. Amen. God bless you, ladies. God bless you both. Thank you. Thank you for putting up with me, dear sister. Even though you know me so well. And Alex has graduated. What are you doing right now?
Working at Shop Smart.
Working at Shop Smart? Hey. Okay. And any direction after that?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay, that's fine. There's room. There's time. And I'm going to go with Thomas. You're about to finish up also, aren't you? And finish this coming Friday? Whew. Wow. You made it, Priscilla, Tom. And what is your hope? What is your desire?
Now, I'm hoping to either go to college, RCC, and get a diesel tech associate's degree, and then work, probably go to work on semi-truck diesel engines for a while, and then plan to go to Burlington, Northern, and big diesel,
Santa Fe Railroad, woo! Yeah, I own a diesel, so let's stay friends. And Grace, what are you doing? Any ideas?
I'm going to go to RCC and get a general associate.
Okay. See where it goes from there. Go to RCC and get the general, the associates of art. Amen. God bless you guys. So, the instructions are, you give me the address, and I'll send the check. Pastor Mark and I are usually the ones that sign it, so we can easily get that moving in the school that you attend. So, God bless you guys. We do have a bunch of snacks that came tonight. Invite you to stick around and do that. But just before we do, I'm going to ask Brother Dave Winchester to pray and just close our time here. Would you please? Thank you.
Father, we believe that you do indeed have your hand on these young people. We would ask you to perform that work in their lives, or they will recognize that you are the one who is governing all the universe. That you, Father, care for them in such a way that mankind cannot really accomplish. Father, as we move into this last part of our time together tonight, we would ask you to bless the conversation that we have with one another. And then help us to enjoy the nourishment that has been provided. We ask you to bless that part of our fellowship as well. Thank you, Father, for being the constant one in our lives, inviting us to come to you at any time through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Young people have chosen one more song as a closing song, so young men and women, come on back up, lead us.